Blog Talk Radio.
Hello?
Share all the love that's in my heart.
Remove all the bars that keep us apart. I wish you could know what it means to be me. Then you'd see and agree that every man should be free. I wish I could give all I'm longing to give. I wish I could live like I'm longing to live. I wish I could do all the things that I can do, though I'm way overdue. I'd be starting anew. Well, I wish I could be like a bird in the sky. How sweet it would be if I found I could fly. I'd soar to the sun and look down at the sea. Then I'd sing, 'cause I know that. Not sing, 'cause I know that. Then I'd sing,
ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much. I really don't know whether you can hear me now because I just talked to Hema Pema, and she wasn't able to hear my voice on air. She did not hear when I told her that we will want to listen to her talk about her contact visit with her son. Now, I'm opening up her mic again. Can you hear me, Ms. Pema?
Yes, amen. Good evening, Ms. Neal. Good evening to every listener on the Blog Talk Radio. My name is Gemma Pena, and I'm the mother of the inmate Christopher Rodriguez, presently a mentally ill at Union Correctional Institution. Severely mentally ill, I had the grace of God of being able to hug and kiss and feel the warmth of the body of my son on this past Thursday. After two almost and a half years, he was in confinement, and I was able to see him. You know, I had to drive 7 hours to go see him and 7 hours back, right presently where I'm living at, and for 2 hours only visits, in confinement through the glass. Of course, they would bring him shackled inside a cage. But then, praise the Lord, you know, every single minute of my life, I was able to hug him and kiss him. And also was present my oldest son, Steven Rodriguez, that had not seen his brother for over 5 years. And Christopher was able to meet his niece. She's 4.5 years old. She would be 5 in July. And I think it was an awesome visitation for him. He was extremely surprised and happy, even though he's still not completely compensated as the way they did the compensation. He was stabilized prior to his conviction. He was sitting in jail for over 4.5 years, and he was able to be compensated prior to the conviction, so they would say that he was competent to stand trial. And after that, once he was convicted to 10 years mandatory, automatically he was sent to date CI, where the nightmare started. And after that, he has not been stabilized by the Department of Corrections until so many letters change, letter from Ms. Mary Neal, letter from a spam Stop Prison Abuse Now from Mr. Steve Weinstein, which I'm extremely grateful, just like I am with you, Miss Mary Neal, and all the advocates, especially George Mellencamp, too, that had taken the courage, you know, to be the whistleblower of all the torture and abuse happening in the Dade Correctional Institution, where my son was offered a hot shower. And unfortunately, you know, he was pepper sprayed and beat up by guards there, too, as well, in 2013. At the end of 2012, 2013, this happened. He has been transferred to several institutions like Lake CI, back and forth. And it's been a really an ordeal due to the fact of the HIPAA law, being an adult and me not being able to have information, because being him an adult and going through mental crisis, he would not sign any paperwork. So it's been really a nightmare what is going on in the USA. It's not that the system, I feel that the system is not broken. The system was set up that way just for the white supremacists. Praise the Lord, you know, once again, I was able to hug him and his brother too. And I think this is, you know, something very positive for his mental condition. He suffered from a schizophrenia and paranoia since 2001 when he developed this. After talking to Dr. Messina, that's a doctor that I see in him at Union Correctional Institution, she told me 2 weeks ago prior to telling me that, yes, he was doing much better, which he's doing a little bit better, but he's not stabilized like they did prior to his conviction. She told me, me being in the medical field, I asked her what was the prognosis, what was the medication. In fact, all of this, I had to be giving her and giving her feedbacks as to the trend of crisis and Baker Acts and old, how many times he had been in the mental institutions. Of course, very temporary for 2 weeks, 3 weeks, for a month. Because unfortunately, in the United States, it's a lot easier to convict someone mentally ill than to have a mental institution or rehabilitation so these people could be functional once they get out of the prison system. That's not the case. They want to have them back again in the system, and that's what we're fighting for. I'm not saying, you know, I think he's completely, she admitted to me that my son is a real forensic file. And I believe that you all know what a forensic file is, that it's someone that is in prison, but it's really, really a mentally ill. And I asked her, well, if you feel that way, don't you do recommendation of sending my son to an AOTC instead of waiting 3 more years as he has to go do in the system? But of course, you know, the code of silence, and well, he's doing much better, and no answers. And that's an update from my son. Of course, they brought him shackled until, you know, they released him to the contact visit, which contact visit is only for 2 hours as well. And he's not bathing. She complained to me that he's not bathing. He refuses to be bathed. They offer him bath only 3 times a week. They can only be bathed 3 times a week. And Christopher's refusing to take a bath. And, of course, and I told her, you know, you should know the reason why my son refuses to take a bath. He was offered a shower. I believe that was part of the trend at Dade CI. And the guards at Dade CI, where everybody knows that Darren Rainey, you know, was murdered there. And that is an update. Let's see, whenever I'm possible to go see him, I will be calling her to see how my son is doing again this week. But the prognosis is, I guess I have to sit around and wait, you know. He's really very paranoid. His mind is continuously asking me and his brother, you know, what I'm going to do when I get out of here. I don't have a driver's license. I don't have a job. Mom, I know you're getting old. And what's going to be with my life when I get out of here? And I say, you take a day at a time. But it's not easy, you know, his mind. That he has a wandering mind continuously in there. Continuously. Continuously.
Hilma, we are so pleased that you were able to touch your son. Did you hug
yes.
him?
Yes.
You
hugged him
your baby.
Like there's no end. There was no end. He was very impressive, you know, with my granddaughter, Joswanis. She had never met him personally. This is the first visit. But we always have pictures of Chris at home, and we show her, you know, that's Uncle Chris. And she's full of love. And I told her, you know, who's going to come out right now, Uncle Chris. And she said, let's go hide and seek with Uncle Chris. So she was hiding. So the first thing that I did is when I hugged him. And I said, it's so nice to feel the warmth of your body after 2.5 years that I haven't been able to touch you or hug you. And I have 2 surprises for you. And he said, you got me surprises, Mom? What is it? And I said, look to your right. And Stephen was hiding with Joswanis, and it was impressive. It was impressive. These 2 brothers, they were hugging and kissing and crying like you don't have, there's no end. There was no end. It was a Kodak moment. It was something that, you know, will stay in my mind. I mean, they hugged for 5 minutes. They would not pull apart from each other. And Joswani was running to open arms and grab her uncle, you know, through the neck, and she would not let him go, and she started kissing him like she had seen him the day before. Right before we left, she said, Uncle Chris, you not coming with us? And he was watery eyes, and he said, no, I can't now. But I will. I can now. And she said, okay, I'm coming tomorrow, Uncle Chris, to visit you again. Because they don't know the distance. They don't know. I'm coming tomorrow. But it was very, I think it was a healing visitation for Chris. I feel that in my heart. God put that in my heart that this was a healing visitation, because continuously, I was telling him during the visit, you know, you have a family that loves waiting for you to come out. You need to eat. He's extremely, extremely skinny. Stephen kept on hugging him throughout the visit and said to him, brother, you have to eat. He said, well, you know, sometimes I'm sleeping and I don't have breakfast. And then, you know, lunch is very little. And I said, but you have money. And he says, well, either I have to buy hygiene, and the only thing that I buy is like 5 honey buns. And we told him, you can't be eating so much sugar because you could develop, you know, diabetes, and you need to eat something like soups and things like that. And you need to shower because he was smelling really bad. He was smelling bad. The clothes that he was wearing, the white shirts they put him under, he was almost, I could say, brown. Very dirty. His feet were very dirty. His clothes, he was not shaved. He was not, they didn't give him a haircut. And, you know, it's sad because I told them, you know, that we can send secure packets. And I asked Mr. Priest, that is his classification officer at Union CI, I would like to send a packet for my son with underwears and washer. He says, that is a privilege that he is in season 3. He doesn't have that privilege. And I said, so being clean in the United States, in paying, I'm paying for it. That is a privilege. You know how cold it is up here in North? And I cannot send my son a long john, me paying for it. And that is a privilege. It is ridiculous. The freedom here is not free. I had to say it because I cannot. He told me he was very cold. And I said, I'm going to try to get your clothes up here, you know, through the secure packs. And he's on a flip-flop. He's extremely skinny, extremely skinny, extremely skinny. It's really sad. It's really sad. We're paying taxes for all of this. The government is getting paid over $100,000 a year per each inmate. And, I mean, it's a privilege to have for the relatives. They should be sending this, I mean, supplying them with this, with basics. I'm not asking for luxury, basics. On Jones, so they can be, and I said, when it's cold up here, do you have a cover sheet? He says, no, I just have a sheet that I can cover myself. said, sometimes we don't even have toilet paper in here. So I'm telling you, we just got to keep on pressing on. Press, and I will not give up. I will not give up, and I will continue. And
speaking,
let's see what God has for us in
store. Speaking of pressing onward, I'm aware that there's to be a meeting in Tallahassee regarding the mentally ill prisoners and inmates in the Florida prison system. I don't know whether it covers the jails or not, but that's this week, is that right?
Well, the visit was, I mean, the rally in Cali was supposed to be that it was organized by George Mallinckrodt. That's the author,
yes,
and the whistleblower for Getting Away with Murder, what happened to Darren Rainey. And it was canceled by the spam. The spam group was Stop Prison Abuse Now. It has been canceled because it was only for 2 weeks that they gave us notice so we could do the rally in Cali, but in the capital, Tallahassee. But it has been canceled. It was supposed to be tomorrow between 10 in the morning and 1 in the afternoon, because there's certain procedures and a protocol Mr. Judge Mallinckrodt had to follow through just for a rally. Permission, papers that had to be filled out. It's really ridiculous. It's really ridiculous, okay? And it has been canceled, and I believe for the letter that I received via email that I can forward that to you later on, that it has been postponed for the spring of 2017. So as far as that, it was supposed to be tomorrow, which I was going to be present. And, of course, I will always be the voice. It's not only for my son Christopher Rodriguez. It would be for Larry Neal. It would be that was has been murdered, just like Darren Rainey. And it's for the, Mrs. Verregestein. It's for all the mentally ill that have no voice. It's not for my son, because it's not about him only. It's about the injustice, the police brutality, the torture, the abuse, and the violation of every single prisoner mentally ill and not mentally ill in the United States, the human rights that are being violated. Also, my son was disabled prior to this, and he had a check for disability. And he was trialed. His check was stopped as soon as he was sentenced. So his disability rights have been also violated in the USA. So in the USA, we don't have human rights like they say. Okay? And I hope the United Nations are really, really aware that we have no human rights and we have no disability rights and we have no First Amendment call and we have no amendment. We have no constitutional rights. And everything is written just in black and white, in paper. And in paper, everything sounds very good. It sounds excellent. But we need to put this in practice. We need to enforce it. We need to keep the fight.
You sum up my viewpoints absolutely well, Emma Pena. I want you to think about the need for AOT programs. That's assisted outpatient treatment program for the mentally ill who are released. Your son he suffers from paranoid schizophrenia. And
yes,
he's
ma'am.
Worried right now about what happens when the doors swing open. What happens then? And he's also worried, as you expressed, about the fact that you are getting up in age. We have grown children who are incarcerated, and that means that their parents are middle age or older. And these people, even though they have mental illness, they also have cognitive skills. And they're aware that mama won't be here always. Daddy won't be here always. What happens
his
to
father
me
passed.
Then?
Exactly. That is his concern. Right now I'm living in a studio. I need support. That's another thing. I'm supporting every time I go visit my sons. I have two sons in prison, Christopher with mentally ill and William Rodriguez. He's presently at Okaloosa Correctional Institution. That's all the way down to the Panhandle. He was also in confinement. And the reason why he was in confinement, I mean, there's really no reason. It's because they get paid. They try to find any excuse to put any prisoner in confinement because the government assigns more federal funds and state funds. They go more to confinement, and if you're mentally ill, it's more money. So just a regular prison without being in confinement, they pay a certain amount of money. Plus, if you are in confinement, so it's more money, and if you are mentally ill, it's more money. So it's a lot easier to have a prisoner being in confinement and mentally ill because the state gets more money. His father passed on April 18th. This year is going to be 3 years ago. Everything started when my mother passed. His detrimental, he felt going into a crisis due to the age once my mother passed. So I believe that engraved, he went into a deeper, now his father passed, is going to be on April the 18th of this year, 3 years that his father passed. He was not allowed, he was a day TI, and he was not allowed to visit, to go to be at the viewing, at the funeral. Okay. So that's something that he made the condition deeper. Okay. The grieving, it's deeper. That's two detrimental loss that he has in his life. One, it was that one that created the condition for the deep grieving of my mother, and now the second part of it, it's his father. So now there's two big losses in his life. So he's concerned right now, and he spaces out. In between this conversation, he spaces out, and I have to be, Chris, pay attention to me. Mommy's talking to you. I love you. Look at your family, because he completely blanks out, And in between the conversation, while he blanks out, he tells me, and Mom, where are you living now? Well, I'm living in a studio. And well, Mom, when I get out of here, where am I going to go? And I said, you always will be with me as long as I leave, because sometime in your life, I have to be preparing him. Mom will not be here, and you will be very functional. But that is something that I do have to take care of. We have to keep on pressing. He will be very functional if we had the 2.5 years, two years and 7 months that he has left. If he could be put, if he could be sent to AOTC instead of being in prison, he's being a vegetable in there. They're not getting him ready. They're really not stabilizing him. They're not making rehabilitation for this condition. Okay, when he goes out of there, first I will have to file for his disability again. I have to start fighting with the government because he was in prison, and I have to fight. It's a fight now, so he can get a disability check. Okay, with the disability check that people get nowadays, he cannot even afford his own place. They're not rehabilitating him. He has 2 years and 7 months to go. His release is supposed to be December 20th, 2018. Okay? And the most important thing right now, if he would have, a routine that he can go outside of a park, that he can go attend classes, that he can be hygiene on a daily basis, would you believe a mentally ill is only offered 3 times a week a shower? I question that. I mean, why 3 times a week? Why you're not offer a shower on a daily basis? Only 3 times a week. That's why my house is smelling awful, like a homeless on the street without shower. That's the way he smells, completely. We need a rehabilitation program.
Your son is concerned because he was in day correctional institution. And
I'm sorry, I can barely hear your voice, ma'am.
Oh, really?
Your voice is breaking out.
We need you to up the volume. Up the volume, please. The thing is that your son, Christopher Rodriguez, was in day correctional institute when Darren Riley was murdered. And he has been offered hot showers himself in order for guards to exercise their control. They're very malicious and narcissistic control over him. as a mentally ill inmate, bringing him hot showers, which is a threat. And he
that is correct.
Hot showers means that they boil prisoners alive and boil the skin off their bones so sufficiently that it's needed to be scraped up out of the shower when these dead bodies are picked up. So this is how your son was threatened. And since then, especially because he has paranoid schizophrenia, he's afraid to bathe. You know,
exactly.
A lot of people are offended when they smell homeless people who, unfortunately, the mentally ill comprise a great number of America's homeless people. They smell homeless people, and they smell mentally ill people, and they might wonder why. But you have no idea how many of these mentally ill people may have been offered hot showers. Christopher Rodriguez was offered a hot shower, which is to say, we will boil the skin off your body and leave you in a scalding hot shower until you are dead. And that's what it meant to him, and that was the right assumption. Christopher Rodriguez suffers from paranoid schizophrenia. So those words that were spoken to him resonate in his mind and spirit to the point that he does not want to bathe now, even the 3 times a week that are offered to him. And people who have been under stress, like the stress, the grief of losing his grandmother, which led him into this crisis, people who've been under stress are being sent to prison, which is not a healing environment. It's a very stressful environment to be incarcerated, even for people who are supposedly sound-minded. And unfortunately, 60% of the people who are in solitary confinement are mentally ill inmates. So your son has also experienced that. So there is no reason for him to really recover from his paranoid schizophrenia, because paranoia is pretty much the emotion of the day, a mentally ill inmate, and is not really ungrounded paranoia. It's wise to be paranoid when you're in an environment filled with narcissists, filled with people who have the idea that the mentally ill don't deserve life. The eugenicists who would seek to steal their lives from them or have them to fight each other until the death, which we got a report from Miami-Dade newspaper that is exactly what was happening in some of the facilities in Florida in 2014 and 15, and 12 and 13. I mean, on and on, that mentally ill inmates were being forced to fight each other, human dog fights, I call them. And that is not peculiar to Florida prison system. It happened in Tennessee when a man named Mr. Gregory was killed by another inmate. They were each let out into the walkway, the hall, in the solitary confinement area together. And that's the whole point of solitary confinement. It's supposed to be protection from other inmates as well as from themselves. Closer watch, and they let these two mentally ill people out together, Mr. Gregory and another inmate, and the other inmate, who was bigger and stronger and more masculine than Mr. Gregory, who was an effeminate young man, he killed him. He beat him to death. He was suffering from his injuries when Mr. Early Story came on duty. And Mr. Early Story was an honest corrections officer there at Memphis Shelby County Jail, and he would not go along with a cover-up saying that Mr. Gregory fell in the shower and got fatally injured. No. Mr. Gregory was able to tell Mr. Story that he was let out and also a bigger, stronger man was let out, and that the guards watched and were entertained while they thought. And this happened in the Florida Department of Corrections. It happened in the Memphis, Tennessee, Shelby County Jail, and it happens in other facilities. So what's to be done? We need more oversight, and we need more accountability from corrections officers and police who shoot first because they are fearful for their lives. When they even meet naked mentally ill people, they fear for their lives and shoot them dead. So this is unacceptable, and AOT programs would help mentally ill people to stay under treatment and to have subsistence housing and food and to rejoin society, rejoin as capable, self-sufficient people to a certain degree if we had AOT programs. And Hema Pena, I want you to know that AOT programs are offered under H.R. 2646. That's a bill that's pending before Congress right now. AOT stands for outpatient treatment. And I know that George Mallinckrodt and many other health rights advocates, health care rights advocates,
well,
are
I don't know
for
if you recall, the last year I went in front of the twelve representatives at the state capitol in Tallahassee, and I spoke about the bill that we're trying, the Senate bill, plus the House Representative bill, which they didn't pass, but I was there. And one concern is, if the state, if we are paying out of our taxpayers, we are paying for the prisoners, why don't the state, that same amount of money that their state is receiving, why once that mentally ill, okay, prisoner, it's being released, why don't you use that money that you're paying for him as an AOTC program outside? Why the state is keeping that money? If those funds are there, are they given to the state for each mentally ill prisoner? Why those funds? Why, when that mentally ill prisoner is released, why is not transfer that money to an AOTC program, and the state can fund that for housing, for disability, for everything? You will be funding. It will be more than enough, because I'm telling you, they're paying over 130,000 years for each mentally ill prisoner on a yearly basis. So why don't you send that money as an AOTC program, and it's a lot less than we're paying, what they're paying right now, as us, we're paying it as a taxpayer for that mentally ill. The reason why I found out that he was offered a hot shower when he was at DCI, because one day I went there, he was in total mental crisis, totally incoherent, at the point that I went to the visit, and I had to turn him in and tell him, my son is not doing good, he's totally incoherent. We do talk to him, and he's always looking above his shoulder, and I told him, Chris, not smelling good, son. And he stared at me and he said to me, what, you going to talk about a hot shower too? That's when the triggered the point, and I said, what do you mean the hot shower? But he was so incoherent. Then I went into Google and I went into DCI. That's when I found out about Darren Rainey, and I said, aha, so this is about a hot shower. That's when I started contacting advocates, the state of Florida, calling FDLE. Nobody has ever done anything. Putting complaints, silence, just like our governor of Florida, Rick Scott, done. Put a silence. He doesn't speak. He doesn't do anything. The worst governor that state of Florida has ever had, Rick Scott. Don't. It is very sad. It is very sad what we've gone through.
Well, you know, what our mentally ill endure behind bars is absolutely atrocious. And we were delayed, but we are taking the plight of Christopher Rodriguez my brother Larry Neal, who was secretly arrested and murdered on his 18th day of secret arrest. We have no judicial recourse because even the United States Department of Justice refuses to give us any records or cooperate with justice in the matter of Larry Neal's murder these 12 years, all during the Bush administration, the last part of it, and throughout the Obama administration. So do not listen to what candidates say. Look at what's happening. And I've seen it written and heard it said that you can judge a nation by how its least able people live. And this is what happens in America to our most disenfranchised people, no matter what race they are. This is what happens to our people who are most vulnerable in this society. And I'm so thankful to groups like Rise Up, that's Rise Up. I'm thankful to people like George Mallinckrodt and Dr. Steven Seeger and other advocates and who are fighting to give assistance to the incarcerated mentally ill. That is the group that I founded, Assistance to the Incarcerated Mentally Ill, AIMI, A-I-M-I. And it is very needed because there are a great many people who call themselves mental health advocates, but yet they refuse or they're fearful of rocking the boat because they get government funds and et cetera. There are a great many politicians who receive private prison contributions. They receive contributions from the overlords, from the owners and operators of private prisons and jails and probation services, which is really money. It's a very growing industry. And Rubio in Florida is one of the candidates who is a private prison, a recipient of campaign funds. I also read that Hillary Clinton received support from private prison companies. But yet we have Bernie Sanders, that Senator Bernie Sanders, who wants to end government contracts with private prison companies. And he also introduced a bill. It's H.R. 3543, the Justice is Not for Sale Act. He and other representatives introduced that bill in September of 2015. And if it passes, then they will stop government contracting with private prison companies within 3 years. What do you think about that, Ms. Penner? Do you think that that bill might help people with mental illness if there was no money to be made off of their imprisonment? Ms. Penner, can you hear me?
Yes, yes, I can hear you, Ms.
I was talking to you about Senator Bernie Sanders' bill, Justice is Not for Sale Act, which would end government contracts with private prison companies within 3 years.
Absolutely, with the GEO, with the GEO group, call it the GEO group. I don't know why they call it the GEO group. South Bay is another prison here in the state of Florida, which is in South Bay, in Florida, South Bay, the GEO group. Unfortunately, there is so much prisons, profits for prisons, that it's unreal. Like you mentioned, Hillary Clinton, her campaign, it's supported by them. Rubio, Marcos Rubio, his campaign is also supported by the GEO group, by Profit for Prisons. And that is the reason why there's so much white supremacy involved into this, that we must continue fighting. We must continue what Martin Luther King died for. We really need, he had a dream And we do have a dream that this has to change. We must continue his dream. We must end prison for profits. This is like a slavery. We're selling our sons and daughters and relatives in the United States. My son has no price. But I do hold the state of Florida and the United Nations responsible for my son's violation of Human Rights and Disability Act in the United States because he has been violated. My son was going through a crisis at the CI, okay, and he was in a DR. DR means a disciplinary report because the guards told him, I'm inside your jail, and he was right at the door, and he said, I'm in my door, okay? He explained this to me once that he was a little bit stabilized, not now, and he said, right at my door, and they pushed him. And four guards went on top of him, and they pepper sprayed him. He said, the only thing that I was able to do, I crawled to a corner, and they even pepper sprayed my rear end. You don't know what I've been through here. You don't know how much I have suffered in here. And he broke in tears. And I had to hold on myself. And I said, forget it, that's part of the past. Our family has suffered a lot. And this has to be compensated. We have to hit their pockets because that's the only way that things are going to change. When we hit their pockets and their profits is when things are going to change because it's really sad that it's only about money. So we need to get hold of their money so they can stop this nonsense.
Absolutely.
It's abuse.
And Bernie Sanders realizes that, and that's why I want everybody who's listening to this to please support a bill
before
Congress right now. That's H.R. 3543. That the
yes.
Justice is Not for Sale Act. And that's what we're doing. Justice in this country is for sale. If you have enough money, you can afford it. But if you
exactly.
are poor or middle class, you cannot afford justice in America. The cards are stacked against you. I want you to know, Emma, that not everyone who I work with used public defenders. Some families have paid tens of thousands of dollars to qualified attorneys to represent their loved one who was mentally ill and being targeted for prison. And yet, they still went to jail because
$5,000 for my son's defense. I paid $5,000 for my son's defense. After one of the public defenders that was given to my son, I went into the Florida bar and I checked him. And believe it or not, this guy was not able to perform as an attorney because he had a complaint against his license, and he's not able to work as an attorney to perform as an attorney due to the fact that he was out of the bar. He was on disciplinary action. And this is the man that was defending my son. So I picked up the phone and I said, what kind of an attorney my son has? He hasn't done anything. Because I went to visit him at Polk County when everything occurred several times. He was never available. I used to call him thousands of times. He was never available. We're talking about a public defender. And when I checked his Florida bar license, he was in disciplinary action. And I said, you have my son with a public defender that has a disciplinary action. I want that attorney right away off because I'm going to put another disciplinary action complaint in his license. That is illegal. And that's the kind of defense attorney that my son had.
This is awful. And, of course, my family had the Jenny Cochran firm to represent us as our wrongful death attorneys. And it turns out that these are just a group of Southern Confederates who are using Jenny Cochran's name to defraud people of color throughout this nation. Not blacks only, but primarily people who are black. They also defraud Native Americans.
Well,
and I believe they will do the same to whites. So we have a crisis in America regarding the legal system, which is supposedly under the oversight of the United States Department of Justice, which when I contacted the Civil Rights Division of the Department of Justice,
It, too, refused justice regarding the secret arrest and wrongful death of Larry Neal, who was incarcerated for 18 days while police lied and denied having him in custody. Therefore, he was not available to us to take his schizophrenic medicines or his vital heart medicines. And he died, supposedly, of a heart problem while he was incarcerated and locked away from his heart medication. You know that if you ever get on heart medication, that there's a warning attached thereto that says that sudden cessation of heart meds can be fatal. And for my brother, it was fatal. If someone comes to your home right now, Hemapena, who has a heart condition, and they fall and drop their heart meds, and instead of giving this person your heart meds, you indeed take them and put them on your sink to keep them out of this dying person's reach. That is murder. And so my brother was murdered. Your son has been in situations where he was threatened with murder. Both of them were schizophrenic, paranoid schizophrenic.
I totally understand because I'm a cardiovascular technologist, okay? So I know what you're saying is absolutely true. Absolutely true. I'm a cardiovascular technologist. And you cannot stop a medication, a heart medication, without having another medication and being titrated. Titrated means a small doses and being increased little by little, just like the schizophrenic and paranoid patients. If you stop psychotic medication suddenly, that person falls into a deeper crisis that is worse to come out of it. All antipsychotic medication as well as heart medication, they have to be titrated. They have to be given in a small doses and increasing and decreasing and increasing and decreasing until they find the right and correct amount of milligrams that are supposed to be taken on a daily basis in order for that patient to be stabilized, just like a blood pressure pill. If you have a high blood pressure and you don't take your medications, what happens? Your high blood pressure goes so all the way up, you can die easily from a massive heart attack. And the same thing happens to schizophrenic or bipolar patients. You have to give them the medication on a daily basis. In fact, when they're going to change one medication to the other, you have to start decreasing this antipsychotic medication and then be given the other medication on a very small doses so the body and the metabolic system would be absorbing the medication. Otherwise, that is going to go into a deeper crisis, which it could bring suicidal.
Yes.
So I know what you're talking about.
And so, you know, all of these people, that's why they need AOT programs, because very often mentally ill people who are treated behind bars, once those doors swing open, then there is no stipulation against their discontinuing their treatment. And so the person that you wind up with is much sicker than that person was when he initially went behind bars. It's ridiculous to come out of jail or come out of a mental hospital after spending hundreds and hundreds of thousands and sometimes millions of taxpayers' dollars to get stabilized. And then once they get out, it's totally up to them whether or not they continue treatment. And anytime you leave that decision up to people with serious mental illness, people with paranoid schizophrenia, bipolar disorder, PTSD at high levels, then you're going to get, no, I don't want to continue treatment. No, that medicine is making me feel
drowsy.
No,
drowsy.
I'm as well as you are. I'm not sick. I really see the green men in the corner. And if you don't see them, then the problem is yours, not mine, because I see the green men. So you've got a great deal of mentally ill people who come out of situations where they have spent millions of dollars getting them stabilized. And then the moment they walk free of jail or free of the hospital, them, whether or not they continue treatment. And they are losing on society people who have many more problems than they initially had, because now they have become dependent on the medication to keep them under control, and it suddenly stopped. And we heard it from a healthcare professional today, Hema Pena, that makes for a much more dangerous situation for the patient as well as society than if they had never been treated. And, of course, the same is true of the heart conditions and other healthcare conditions. You know, the thing is that the brain is an organ, like the heart, like the kidneys, like the liver, and it needs treatment sometimes if people suffer from chronic diseases. Schizophrenia is a disease, and it's no worse than having, say, an enlarged heart or having a heart failure, you know. It's no worse than having kidney failure. It's no worse than having cancer of the lungs.
That's correct.
Needs treatment. And many people with treatment actually fully recover from kidney disease as long as they're on treatment. People with treatment can live normal lives, even with having enlarged hearts and diabetes and all of these conditions. But it requires continuous monitoring and continuous treatment. And why is it that billions, with a B, of dollars are spent every year to incarcerate people plus treat them while they're in a very stressful
I'm sorry for interrupting.
Situation behind bars.
Yeah.
Go right
ahead. I apologize. One of the instances that I spoke to Dr. Ms. Lane to her, because continually she was asking me questions about Christopher, and I said, let me explain something to you, Dr. Messina. You are the doctor. You're the psychiatrist taking care of my son. Why do you keep on asking me questions? That means because you are not giving him treatment. You are not assessing my son. You're doing nothing. So you're asking me, so based on what I'm telling you from the years of experience, me in the medical field, from the years of experience of dealing with a crisis on my son, you're going to be treating my son. No, you are the doctor, and you're going to treat my son, and you're going to do an assessment, and you're going to follow your protocol, and I'm not going to give you information. You're going to give me information about my son. Right now he's in Haldol and Cogentin. Because Haldol has a secondary effect that keeps twitching, okay? You get medications of Haldol, it gives you a twitching. So they need to compensate the twitching, he needs to be in Cogentin, okay? Now, and I even told her, why was my son stabilized? Why he was stabilized? 2 times prior to his conviction, while he was sitting in jail waiting for conviction, he took almost from 2008 until 2012, okay, 4 years. So why you were able to stabilize him, he was 2 times at Treasure Coast in Florida, which he was completely doing excellent. So they were able to stabilize. Why he was able to be stabilized prior to the conviction and after the conviction, since 2012 that you put him in DCI, until date, my son has been in crisis. He hasn't been treated. He's nothing at all. Nothing at all. Why?
Well,
he
let me
answer
ask you,
me, and
you know, why is that? Is it because they changed his medication once they got him so-called trial ready?
No, the reason is, she said to me, well, in the jail system, it's totally different from the prison system. In the jail system, there's medications that we could prescribe. In the prison system, kinds of medications that are not covered. Why? Because Corizon, and the new pharmaceutical company that is taking over the prison system and the new healthcare system is worse than Verizon.
And what is the name of that one? Do you know?
It's the same company that our governor for the state of Florida signed up the contract. The same healthcare system that they have in Texas now. I completely forgot about it. But I will send you the information because I've been reading on it. It's worse than Verizon. And that's the reason why Gale system is completely different healthcare than the prison system. The prison system is run by the state, of course. Millions of dollars behind it. Too much money. They don't want to spend money on that. The white supremacy, prison
so
for profit.
They spent money to get your son trial ready so that he would
exactly.
go to trial looking like he was completely in his right mind.
That's what he said. They told me he was competent to stand trial. He was competent. They
right.
stabilized him to say he was competent. When they convicted him, she said to me, your son is a real forensic file. And I said, he's a real forensic file. Why don't you put that in your documentations there in your document that as part of his health care? Why don't you put that in his assessment that my son is a real forensic file? How come if he's a real forensic file after conviction, he was not a real forensic file prior to conviction while he was in jail? Because you guys really make sure he was able to stand trial and you really, really stabilized my son so he can be convicted and he become another number for the state of Florida.
Exactly. Exactly. These people so often, you know, not guilty by reason of insanity, please don't work. Because what
exactly.
the judge and jury see is not the person in crisis. They make sure of that. They give them the best psychiatric care and drugs sometimes to get them so-called trial ready, to trick the court system, to trick the juries, to trick the judge, and make it appear that this person is as stable as you or I. And for that moment, they may be as stable as you or I. But you did not see that person during their arrest. You did not see that person during the events that led to their arrest.
Another
you
thing.
You do not see that same person.
Another thing, when you are in jail, you're supposed to be assessed by three different psychiatrists prior to taking you to trial. My son was assessed by two times, okay, by the same doctor, which that makes it illegal too. It has to be by three different psychiatrists. He was only assessed twice. By this same doctor. That's another, you know, point there. But
these
it doesn't
people,
matter. It's another number
no,
for the prison
the truth
system.
Is that the America legal system, the America's legal system, follows laws only in as much as those laws will lead to the arrest and conviction of
exactly.
American people. They don't
exactly.
follow laws if it's for our good. They totally ignore thou shall not kill if it's one of us who's been killed wrongly by police. They don't follow laws that say that everybody has the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. They don't even follow the law where it says everybody has the right to a fair, speedy trial with adequate defense appointed. Now, you see that Hema Penna's lawyer that was appointed to her son as a public defender was already under a disciplinary action.
Disciplinary.
He had
and his
no
name was Daniel. His name was Daniel H. Daniel H. Anybody could follow up on that on the Florida State Bar? Daniel H. Okay? And he was under
How
disciplary.
Do you spell that
and he
last
was
night?
A-T-E-S.
How did you spell that last night?
A-T-E-S. Correct. Daniel H. So that was when I, because I do follow through. I mean, it's my son. It's not only that, it's for the injustice. It's for the injustice. Okay? And I said, let me check in the Florida bar. And I started checking, and I read. You could, I even printed out everything that was on him. He had a disciplinary. He was not able, he was disbarred from the Florida bar. He was not able to be, he had a private practice, and he was closed down. And this is the kind of attorney that you're putting my son as a public defender? So when I picked up the phone and
so
I said, I don't know what you guys are going to do.
After your son's case, is that right? He wasn't
disbarred. No, no. He was before. He had disciplinary, and they closed down his private practice, and then the state was using him as a public defender. How can
even
you use a public defender? After he had a disciplinary action. So when I picked the phone and I called the Florida Bar and I called Polk County and I called the Division of Public Defense Defenders at Polk County Courthouse, and I said, wait a minute, Channel 8? No. Look what this guy has. How come you're going to appoint somebody that can't even practice because you took him out of private practice? And is this what you're going to be? Besides the point, every time I will contact him, and I think I was able to talk to him in a period of 2 years. If I'm not exaggerating, I think it was 3 times. And it's because one day I stayed at his office, at the public defender's office. I stayed from 1 o'clock in the afternoon until 5 o'clock, almost closing time. And I'm not leaving this place until I talk to him. He doesn't answer phone calls. He doesn't give me an appointment. Well, he's always very busy. Well, you know, he's very busy. He holds my son's file. And he had never read my son's file. He had never done anything. It is just a matter of, I'm going to let the time go by so these people could have, the statute of limits over. They can't do nothing. They can't get an attorney. They can't do anything. That's our system. This is our system in USA. Is that human rights? Is that disability rights?
No. So you
we have no
that,
rights. We
you
have no
that
rights.
Attorney 8 was simply holding your son's file
Thank
and
you.
Letting the statute of limitations go by.
Thank
and
you,
this
yes.
is what the Johnny Cochran firm did to my family. We took them Thank the
you.
Wrongful death case of Larry Neal, and they held it. But they did more than that. They actually wrote us lying letters saying that they had an investigation going forward, lawsuits to file, they were preparing cases for court, and none of it was true. Their file was empty on Larry Neal.
And then
they were simply letting natural limitations go by. And
another
so they would save from a lawsuit.
Exactly.
And this is
now,
unacceptable
after,
behavior.
Exactly.
But
then,
yet these state bars, they have members. Do you know who the members of state bars are? They're the attorneys that the state bars refuse to hold accountable. Those
and
are
now,
their members.
Listen,
we
listen
are
the
not
part
their
of
members.
This.
We don't go
listen
to their
to this.
Continuing education courses. We
exactly.
don't pay their membership dues. So we don't count with these state bars. Go right ahead, Ms. Penna.
And listen to the second part. Once this attorney was removed from my son, they transferred the files to another attorney. Guess what?
I'm not hearing you, Ms. Penna. Were you speaking? You said they transferred it to another attorney?
Polk County jurisdiction, yes. Hello?
You said, excuse me, I want you to know that it seems that the hackers cut your audio. You were saying that your son's case was transferred from Mr. 8 to another attorney. And go ahead
yes.
and take up from there.
After I complained and I said, how can this guy be representing my son when he cannot even hold his own private office and he has complaints and derogatory complaints about in his license, and the state, he cannot perform as an attorney for the state, and now he is on the state and representing my son as a public defender. No, he's really a public pretender is what he is. Then they changed the attorney to another attorney, and this attorney, his jurisdiction was really in Orange County, which belongs to Orlando. So I was never able to get hold of him. He had too many files. He had too many cases. I was never to visit him in the office. It was a really mess. So this is when I decided to contact Julia Williamson, is the attorney that defended my son. I paid $5,000 for it. Because I went to a private attorney, and he told me, I can take the case for $20,000. And I said, if I would have $20,000, I will give it to you now because my son is really a forensic file. Now, listen to this. When my son was waiting in jail, the complaint that I filed, when my son was in jail waiting to be trialed, was at the mental unit. Okay, he was at Peace River several times. When he was out, they corrected by me. Well, the doctor that was holding Peace River, the director of Peace River, was the director of the mental unit at Polk County Jail. And I said, wait. I picked up the phone and I said, what? The same doctor that signed my son's disability, listen to this, he was the doctor that signed my son's disability, was the director of psychiatry department and the mental unit at Polk County Jail. And I said, no. And that doctor is not able to tell that he signed Christopher Rodriguez's disability for the state of Florida, and he's the director of the mental health unit at the same time he's the director of Peace River. I'm sorry, but there's a conflict of interest here, and I'm filing a complaint, so they removed him from the Polk County Jail. Tell me about it.
It's outrageous. What's happening is that years ago, America was a slave country, slavery. And there were plenty of so-called top citizens, including many of the so-called founding fathers who were slave investors. They owned plantations. They owned slaves. And they were doing everything to their slaves imaginable. Thomas Jefferson, of course, was having regular intercourse with a slave woman on his plantation, and he had a whole family of slaves by her, children who were slaves. And so America is a slavery place. And even today, slavery is so entrenched and the economy of this country, that very often the people who you report to and who you count on, you rely on them making at least fair decisions, they honestly cannot make fair decisions because they themselves are the prison investors who would be, if your child, if your brother, if your sister, or if mentally ill people throughout the nation were treated fair, it would negatively impact their prison profits, and they know it. And within that framework, you have many people who have individual conflicts of interest, like the doctor that you just told us about, like the lawyers,
right,
the Cochran firm that I just told you about, like the system which would put a lawyer who's under investigation for a wrongdoing in a case, over a case, for a mentally ill young man who had every right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness in as much as other Americans have. But you see, he's been targeted to remove those rights because, and partly because he's a young man of color, and also because he has a mental illness.
He's Hispanic, and he's Hispanic.
Yes.
My son is a mental. It comes from a black family on his father's side, and me too. And plus, he is Hispanic. Plus, he's mentally ill. So, unfortunately, in the USA, if you're not blonde and blue eyes, you're a piece of trash. I'm sorry to say it, but that's the way it is. If you don't have blonde hair, natural blonde hair, and blue eyes, you're trash. You're nobody.
And now,
unfortunately, it is.
Let me ask you about, let me say to you and remind you about Heather's son, Heather Chapman.
Heather Chapman,
his,
yes,
her
son Nico Albany.
Is a blonde haired, blue eyed white boy. And he's treated every bit the same as your son. You see, mental illness eliminates white skin privilege. We know
absolutely
that Kelly Thomas was a Caucasian, and also he had a father who was in law enforcement, and yet he was beaten to death by six Fullerton County, California police officers. You see, mental illness cancels white skin privilege in the United States of America, because this system, where it comes to mentally ill people, is basically Nazi. In Germany, before World War II, mentally ill people, whether they were Jewish or whether they were Aryans or whether they were black, they were rounded up and eliminated. Over 300,000 of them were rounded up and eliminated. And it didn't matter that there were Aryans in the bunch, blonde hair, blue eyed, beautiful people, according to Hitler. It didn't matter that they were also eliminated because they had mental illness, which qualified them to be treated useless eaters, useless life. Those are the terms given to mentally ill people. And right now today, in some of the Scandinavian countries, they are giving assisted suicide, they call it. In other words, they are practicing eugenicism. They're doing eugenics on people with mental illness, even
now,
children.
Can you tell
who
me,
have
Ms.
autism.
Neal, can you please tell me, Ms. Neal, what's the difference between Holocaust and what is the difference between what is happening right now in the USA, please?
No difference.
Can you tell me the difference?
There is no difference.
There's no difference, Ms. Neal. There's no difference what's happened on the Holocaust, and there's no difference between what's happening right now. This is a 2016 Holocaust in the United States, period.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. Yes. I agree.
But God forbid you touch, a Jewish and tell them anything about the Holocaust. Oh, my Lord. Well, there's no difference between the Holocaust years ago and the Holocaust what's happening now in the USA. There's no difference. This is a Holocaust right now, what's, what we're going through with our mentally ill.
Absolutely.
There's
I
no
know
difference.
Of no other people that it's okay to murder them. Okay. In fact, it's perfectly okay with the system to murder someone if they're mentally ill. Police have only to say, I fear for my life. The person could be naked, absolutely butt naked, with no weapons whatsoever. And if a police says that they fear for their lives, they are allowed to shoot them dead, like
that's correct.
A rabid
mm-hmm.
dog.
Yep.
And so,
yeah.
You know, that has happened. And we have circumstances where people who have mental illness have no Sixth Amendment right, as I pointed out, to a fair, speedy trial. They keep them sometimes in jail until and unless they will agree to plea bargain. That means
that's exactly what happened
that
to my
guilty.
Son.
You must admit that you're guilty,
exactly.
or you will not ever see daylight. And they keep
right.
them sometimes for years. Right now, Terrell Scott, a black young man, has been incarcerated in Pennsylvania, which is the state over which Representative who has put forward H.R. 2646, the Helping Families and Mental Health Crisis Act, named Mr. Murphy. That bill comes out of Pennsylvania's senator's office. But yet in his state, there's a young man who has been incarcerated for over 6 years without trial, because they wanted him to acknowledge his crime. And he did not admit that he had done any crime. In fact, he said he had not done the crime. So they did not give him trial. He has not yet been to trial. And that's Terrell Scott. So mentally ill people are incarcerated on skimpy, very skimpy evidence against them. But never mind, because we'll just keep this one until he admits
to something. He's got to take a plea deal in order to ever get out of jail because we are not giving him a trial. That's violation of the Sixth Amendment right to a fair, speedy trial. Well, adequate defense.
But they're violating, they're violating your rights and my rights too on the First Amendment, the right to speak.
Yes. Yes.
They're violating your rights and my rights because the hackers, you know, they get in there, and that's a violation. That's a Privacy Act violation. I have the right to speak and say anything that I want, and I will until the day I die, whether they like it or not. I don't care. I left Cuba many years ago looking for freedom, and you know what? It's just another Holocaust here. This is the Cuba here. There's no difference between the Castro and what is going on in the United States. My father was a political prisoner, too, in Cuba. And he was tortured and abused exactly the same way my son is being tortured and abused in the United States. There's really no big difference.
Okay.
There's no difference. There's no freedom of speech there, and we don't have any freedom of speech here. We don't have. We can't even call the First Amendment. We don't have freedom of speech here. We don't have anything in the United States anymore.
No.
And then you listen to all the Cubans. I was born in Cuba. It's not that I'm throwing out on my race. No, I'm very proud of my origin, okay? But talking about, you listen to the United Nations, violation of the Cuban human rights, violation of the civil rights, violation. What about the violation that is going on in the United States? Come on.
In the United States of America.
Thank you. In the United States of America. So what is going on? United Nations, stand up, you know, for our rights here. Okay, I'm a taxpayer.
Yes.
I'm an American citizen. My kids were born and raised here. Let's just stand up, United Nations. Come on. They're violating the rights of another country, and you're putting your nose in somebody else's business. Clean your backyard first and go into your neighbors.
Yes. Absolutely. Well, you see, I find that a great many, not just the United Nations, but a great many so-called human rights organizations and civil rights organizations are getting funds from the U.S. government. Therefore, they ignore the types of abuse that I endure, First Amendment rights violations. They ignore the types of abuses that you and your son experience because that will throw dirt in America's eye. Their own dirt. This is not our dirt. This is their dirt where they are targeting people with mental illness for prison and jail. Now, why do I say they're targeting the mentally ill? It's because you can look at a video on YouTube where police officers conducted a sting operation against young high schoolers with autism. High schoolers with autism. These police officers targeted them and made friends with them, and they were delighted. The children were delighted because very often people who have mental disabilities,
they're not even prepared. They're not even prepared. They don't know when somebody's going through a crisis. They're not trained for that. They're not trained to deal with type of people. They're not trained. They don't know better. It's just they only pull the gun and shoot. That's what they're being trained. They're robots. Just pull and shoot. That's what they're being trained, period.
Well, you know, these police officers made friends with autistic high schoolers, and then when they had made friends with these kids who were socially handicapped, they then told these kids, I need you to get me some marijuana. They had made friends with them, police officers who were passing themselves off as fellow high schoolers, but particularly targeted people with mental disabilities, and told them, I need you to buy me some marijuana. And some of the kids were like, I don't know anything about buying marijuana. I don't know anybody who sells it. I don't know anything about getting you marijuana. Well, you would get it for me if you were my friend, they were told. And so they set these children with vulnerable minds up, and they told them to get their marijuana. And when some of the autistic children did that, then they arrested them, and they joined 1.25 million others incarcerated. And I want you to know that these included Caucasian children. So, again, mental illness trumps race.
They don't care about the mentally ill, even if they're blonde-haired and blue-eyed, even if they're fair complexion. They do not care about mentally ill people. And I want to remind everybody that in some of the Scandinavian countries, mentally ill people are urged, coerced into suicide, assisted suicide. Even little children who are too young to be able to make a decision on what kind of ice cream they want, young and too impaired to make a decision as to whether they want vanilla chocolate or strawberry ice cream, are asked, do you want to leave from here since you have this disability? Do you want to go to a nicer place? Sign right here and we'll help you. So even little children are given assisted suicide, as I understand it, in some of the Scandinavian countries, if they are autistic or otherwise mentally impaired. Is that the America that you want here? Do you want people to be wholesale killed because they have a mental disability? And before you answer, I want you to know that a great many people with mental disabilities have contributed great things to our society. Elvis Presley was pronounced bipolar after he died. Doctors looked at things from his background and how he lived and some of the crises he experienced, and they declared that Elvis Presley was bipolar.
Wow.
And that was declared after he died. I want you to know that Nina Simone, who was one of the great singers in the civil rights era, was bipolar, and she took medication every day for a bipolar disorder that was diagnosed during the time when she was a top singer and a top advocate. I want you to know that Winston Churchill was said to be mentally ill. And also, we had here a Congressman Kennedy, who was
Congressman Kennedy.
Yes.
What happened to the Bush son? Bush son was arrested not too long ago for drug charges. I wish if I could follow up, Google, what is going on in his case? How about Bush's daughter? Years ago, she was in a drug case, too. Of course, she doesn't have any records. Of course, she doesn't have anything. How about Bush's son? Bush's son was not too long ago, about 2 months ago or 3 months ago, he was arrested on drug charges. But it's Bush's son.
Well, you know, we have...
It's not Larry Neal, and it's not Christopher Rodriguez. It's Bush's son.
We have a situation now where people who are rich make the rules, and they do not live by the same set of rules that are made.
Exactly.
The rules, the laws, are only for who they consider, quote-unquote, lessers. Lessers.
That's correct.
Jails are for lessers. As a matter of fact, we're aware that there is a young man in Texas. His case brought this to the forefront. He killed four people when he was drunk driving and wounded two others. And he was not prosecuted because they said he had aphasia. He was too affluent to be prosecuted for vehicular homicide. I said vehicular homicide. He was too rich to be prosecuted for vehicular homicide. Whereas other people, especially if they want to make a statement against a particular family for speaking out, they will be brought forward on such charges even when no evidence exists. There are many people who experience prosecutorial misconduct. They experience persecution through the legal system if they speak out against
That's
the
correct.
Way America treats its
That's another system. Violation of the First Amendment.
Yes.
They do violation
yes.
of amendments to everything. Let me tell you, it's federal, a violation of opening mail to anybody in the United States. That is a federal violation. You could be either in prison or fined up to $10,000. What is the state of Florida doing opening up the prisoner's mail? That is a violation of the federal law.
But it happens.
And that happens. How do they can't open their letters, either in or out, and they violate the prisoners of the federal law of $10,000 fine, or you could be imprisoned. And they do it every day. They do it every day.
Well, you know, George Mellencamp's book, Getting Away with Murder, which is the book he wrote about Darren Rainey, who we can go to YouTube and see on film, two guards, I believe one of them or both of them were black, pulled this new-age black mentally ill inmate who was due for release soon, pulled him into a hot shower and turned the water on him, boiling hot, and murdered him that way. We see the guards who did it, but there's been no justice. There's been no
prosecution. Let me tell you, one of those guards left Dade CI, and he is, at this moment, he is a police officer in Miami.
No.
One of those guards, he resigned from Dade Correctional Institution, and he is a police officer in Miami.
Wow.
Wow.
You know, Miami.
I know the name of that guard. I know his name. He's a police officer right now. His name is Roland Clark.
Roland Clark?
Yes. C-L-A-R-K-E. That is called the Darren Rainey. He's a police officer in Miami, in Miami Shores.
Wow.
He works for the Miami Shores Task, police officers.
Wow. That is absolutely outrageous. And
so
everybody
he's working. He has another job. He got away with murder. He got away with murder. He's a police officer. And nothing is happening. What is Catherine Fernandez Rondles, you know, the state attorney's office, doing? Nothing.
Nothing.
Absolutely nothing. Why somebody had to resign if they were investigating? You have to hide. Why do you have to go and resign your job? And then you will get, how about the when you go into a police force, into the there's a police that has to do check your records, okay? How come that police officer, the person in charge at Miami Shores, has not checked Roland Clark's records, prior records? Where do you come from? What do you used to do before? They should go through an interrogation and find out what are your backgrounds, what are your criminal backgrounds, mentally, because most of these big people, they are really worse than predators. So they should go through a mental questionnaire, a very vast mental questionnaire. Where are you coming from? Why did you resign your employment? Why don't you? So we have another psychopath running on the street. He left Miami-Dade CI Correctional Institution, and now he's running. And imagine that person when he stops somebody in Miami on the street. We let that psychopath left Dade CI, and now he's running on Miami street. Tell me about it. Huh? Welcome
well,
to
you
USA
know,
with the human rights.
Miami at one time had the Miami police had killed 7 black people within 8 months. 7 black people the police had killed within 8 months. And you can put that in your Google browser. So, you know, Florida has a very bad reputation regarding citizens' rights for anyone who is black or Hispanic. And
I'm telling
especially
you.
In their prisons and jails. 300
I'm telling you, we hold two of those titles, black and Hispanic,
yes.
Unfortunately. And on top of that, mentally ill. So we hold the three badges. We
yes.
hold. Sad.
You know,
very sad.
Florida had 346 inmate deaths in 2014.
My son, one of those.
That's not counting all of the jails. That's not counting the deaths by police on the street. That is
let
only
me tell you,
the deaths behind bars in prison.
Ms. Neal, if you want to go to a prejudice County, you go to Polk County. That's where everything started. Polk County is the most prejudiced county that I have ever seen. I lived in Miami. My sons were born and raised in Miami. I was raised in Miami, born in Cuba, but raised in Miami, to school, university, and everything in Miami. I moved to Polk County because I purchased a property there. Divorced, then I came, you know, left Polk County, but that's where everything is set. I left Polk County following Chris coming to my, I came to my, back to Miami following my son. Due to his mental condition, I had to do what I had to do because I wanted a visitation with him continuously. That's the reason why I left Polk County. But let me tell you, Polk County is the most prejudiced counties in Florida. I'm telling you, I lived there for 9 years. And they just have the saying, you come to Polk County on vacation and you leave on probation. That's how bad Polk County is.
Well, that's pretty much the story of life for people who are Black, Native American, and Latino throughout this country. I found that these people wearing those labels are targeted for oppression. And it's very unfortunate, but we are so blessed to have people like you who are strong advocates for the mentally ill of all races and all socioeconomic backgrounds. And you mentioned George Mallinckrodt several times, and we congratulate him on his work.
Thank
and,
you.
And writing the book, Getting Away with Murder, for Darren
for
Riney.
For having the
but
courage
that's not just
of
Darren
listening.
Riney. Story. That's so
right.
many people's story. It's my family's story.
Absolutely.
And, you know, you've been spared that, but it's happening to people all over the nation that their loved ones who are most vulnerable due to a mental impairment are killed and accountability is totally withheld by not only the state government, but the U.S. Department of Justice, Department of Civil Rights, ignores these murders. And so we have
George Mallinckrodt
an opportunity.
He was fired. Yes. George Mallinckrodt was fired for being a whistleblower. Would you imagine
yes.
a human that is taking care of mentally ill had the courage to stand up and said, this is wrong? Well, he was fired. They banned
fired.
His book.
Yes.
Yes. They banned his book. For continuously speaking the truth, they banned his book. He's going through a really, really tough economical situation on his property because he has no job. So you know what? Just because you open your mouth and you said the truth was to make you know it's not going to happen because this has to end. It is really very sad that you, when you speak the truth, you're banned.
Band. We also have
completely.
Another, George Mallinckrodt was, of course, a mental health therapist through Corizon
yes.
here in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
We also have a gentleman who was a corrections officer in the Mississippi Department of Corrections,
yes.
and his name is
That's
Richard Mosley, and he
That's
was
correct.
Fired
I bought his book.
Because
I
he
bought
objected.
His book.
Wonderful. He was fired because he objected to abuse of mentally ill inmates in Mississippi. And that's Britton Mosley. And his book, do you know the name of his book?
Yes, Correction Behind Bars, something like that.
No.
I have the
no.
book. I order it through
yeah.
Amazon. Wow, I forgot. I bought it through Amazon because you requested, you know, for anybody to help him out and to buy the book. So I
and
have
his
it home.
Book just went into a second edition, just like George Mallinckrodt's book went
mm-hmm.
into a second edition. And
but at least
it was
at hasn't been
George
banned.
Mallinckrodt's second edition that they banned it in the Florida Department of Corrections.
Both.
And so
first
is
and
free
edition.
Speech. Do we really have freedom of speech here?
No,
do we
don't.
Really have freedom of press here? Not to talk about slavery in America, because remember that the 13th Amendment gives these people every right to make prisoners slaves. Prisoners are legal slaves. And so slavery is as much a part of American life as it ever was But if you say that and if you protest it, then you will suffer First Amendment rights violations, even to the point of prosecutorial misconduct, even to the point of false criminal charges against you, even to the point of surveillance and all the things that I undergo, even to having your livelihood being separated from your jobs, like George Mallinckrodt, like Britton Moseley, and even to the point of false criminal charges against you, which is what happened to Britton Moseley. They do
correct.
They punish you for speaking
That's
the
correct.
Truth.
That's
and,
correct.
And you're greatly punished in the United States of America if you say anything other than this is a great place. We have liberty and justice for all.
No, we don't have no liberty and we don't have justice and we have violation of human rights and we have violation of disability rights. And this is the whole Constitution just in black and paper. This is just violation, trust violation, but United Nations has to stand up for our rights. We do have rights. We are humans. Our mentally ill, being a mentally ill is not a crime. Mentally ill is not a crime.
I recently read that the United Nations has determined that America must pay blacks reparations for slavery. And I published that on my page at Google Plus and at Facebook yesterday. Now, at online, I'm known as Mary Loves Justice. So please just Google that. And also Google the United Nations says slavery reparations are due. And to my idea, slavery reparations are not only due to people who were whose foreparents were enslaved because they were African imports coming here to do labor for free.
That's correct.
Under great oppression. But also slave reparations are due for people who have been incarcerated without reason. They've been incarcerated without any real reason other than they were mentally ill and they acted inappropriately, usually because mental health care was denied them. Do not think that everyone who is arrested for inappropriate conduct of a mental illness were offered mental health treatment and refused it. Some people are denied treatment until they break the law, and then they get treatment only behind bars in a very stressful environment where they should not be. On today and telling us about
Thank you.
Very blessed visit where you were allowed to touch and hug your son, Christopher Rodriguez,
yes.
And we want
yes.
to send you our love and let you know we're with you as
Thank
you continue to fight this fight.
Thank you, Ms.
We
Perry.
We have 60 seconds left on air. And I
yes,
want to give
Mary
you
loves justice.
Close out, Ms. Tenna.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Jesus, for allowing this moment. Thank you for allowing the moment that I was able to embrace and feel my son's warm blood, his body. And thank you, Ms. Mary loves justice, and Hema loves justice, too. You're my sister. And it's not only about I'm being the voice, not only for my son, it's for those mentally ill that have no voice. God bless you all. Thank you very much for this opportunity, and you have all a blessed evening. In God I trust.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Demand. And we look forward to your next visit on Tuesday night, Monday night, and throughout this week. Check the schedule. Good night, everybody. God bless you.
Good night. God bless you. Bye-bye.